You have already decided that when Arn dies, that you're going to donate his brain.
Well, actually, Arn made that decision. We approached Dr. Brand to talk to him because Arn wanted to have a family history of knowing for the future, for his children and grandchildren, especially with all the research that's here today. If there was anything that they should know, what could they learn that would make the world better for them in future generations? His primary goal was his own children. And the next thought was, what can I do to help anyone who walks this path and help research? Because I'm not going to take it with me. I don't need it. It doesn't make any difference. Arn always wanted to be cremated, so it's not an issue. I certainly supported Arn, and I do support anyone who wants to leave a history for future generations, especially with DNA and genetics and everything else we have today. I think it's the greatest gift we can leave those who follow us. And Dr. Brand said to Arn, when Arn went to sign the papers, he said, you are doing so much for us, and we can never do as much for you as you've done for us. While they've told me that they're 99.999% sure Arn has Alzheimer's, what if there's something else in there? What if he doesn't have Alzheimer's? What if there's something else going on? I think that's unlikely, but when the brain autopsy is done, it will be definitive. What future generations do with it is up to them, but it will leave all questions answered and the doors open, and that medical information he made available to anyone in his family once he's deceased.
This disease changes the roles very much, and someone at often a more advanced age in their own life has to take on an entirely new role, not one that was looked for.
You know, women by nature are caregivers. Men are not by nature caregivers, with some exception. And I never cease to be amazed at the men I meet who care with great love for a family member. It's very different, and I have such admiration for them because this is not their role. They're the people that provide. They go off to work. They put the bread on the table, the roof over your head. And yet, when they rise to the occasion, their courage is absolutely amazing. I don't know you could do this if you didn't love somebody. I mean, there are people who do it out of guilt. There are people who do it because of obligation. And there are people who do it out of love. And if you have perhaps a little of all of that, that might make the best recipe if you stirred the pot. And hopefully the love will sustain you. I have met some people who stayed with a spouse out of obligation. The way that they handle it is very different. They get a lot of home care. They tend to disappear, work longer hours, become involved in volunteer work. But I still think that they have risen to the occasion and they're there because even if it's an obligation, it still takes courage.
You have resources to make provision for him, to have him cared for in a way that makes you happy. You feel very comfortable that he's being well taken care of. How do you think your situation may have been different if those hadn't been available to you?
I think I would have burnout. I think physically I would have a lot more issues. It's very frightening to me when I meet people who don't have resources. I feel that no matter where you stand in life, that you should have the same care available to you if you walk this path. I hope there will be better home care. If we're going to have greater numbers, we have to have greater home care. I would love to have kept Arn home, and yet I'm not in a position to provide that care at home and keep him safe. I know others who have been able to do that. That clearly would be the most ideal, but that's not always possible. You know, if you have cancer, you have hospice. If you have a dementia, you don't yet have the resources to have someone come into the home. And I think that that's a real tragedy for those who do not financially have what is necessary to provide. I just can't even go there. I am very grateful, and I am grateful every day. Arn was successful and provided well, and it is a very expensive disease in which to maintain a person for a long, long period of time.
That's one of the difficulties, I think, with Alzheimer's is one doesn't know how long it's going to be.
No, you don't know how long it's going to be. You don't die from Alzheimer's. You do not die from Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a behavioral depletion of the brain ability. So something else is going to get you, a urinary tract infection, a cancer, pneumonia. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it? You know, you could live 12 years. You could live 5 years. They don't know. I mean, they can tell you based on experience, it could be 3 to 5, it could be 5 to 7, but who knows what the precipitating event will be. If the person breaks their hip, if you do surgery, there's just so much that goes into it. It uses your resources.
Caring for the caregiver has emerged as a huge issue regarding the management of Alzheimer's disease and the family unit. If you are going to be offering to policymakers your thoughts on how best to structure caring for the caregiver, what would you say?
I don't think that the policymakers yet understand the strain on the caregivers. Before you can really come up with something hard and concrete, I think you have to really understand what it does to the caregiver. I think people just look at the resources that go in the medical arena. Medicare doesn't pay for any of the care unless you're hospitalized for a certain number of days or beyond that. But I don't think that policymakers yet really focus on caregivers. And until they do that, I don't know that there is really something concrete to offer. We certainly need money to research the Alzheimer's itself, but that doesn't help the caregiver. That's going to help the disease in the future.
Let's say that I come to you and I say my spouse has just been diagnosed. What would you offer to me in my capacity as caregiver?
I think we all have to support each other, and that I may do it one way and you can do it another way. I also think that for someone who is as far along in the disease as I am, I don't want to frighten you. I want to be honest with you, but I don't want to share so much information with you that you look to the future and I wipe you out. I think we all can rise to the occasion. Many people say, I can't do what you do. If you had laid this all out for me, I think I would have said to you, I can't do that. I think we have much more strength than we're aware of till we face a problem. And my hope would be that I could give you the support to deal with what you needed to deal with, but make sure that you have support, particularly from a psychiatrist or a psychologist that can be blatantly honest with where you are, that can watch you as a caregiver, who can tell you when you're out of line or unrealistic. I would like you to get support you need. There's a point of support that all of us who walk this path can give you. But then you need to share what bothers you the most with someone that you won't have to walk into every time you walk into a dinner party with friends, go to a movie with friends, go to your book club, go to the library, go to the grocery store. You need the confidentiality part, and only a psychiatrist or a psychologist can do that. So don't be afraid to ask help.
It sounds like the message that you're giving is don't go out there and look too hard at the possibilities of what might go wrong, but become educated about what might go wrong, because that will help you to deal with these issues.
Also look at what goes right. Don't be looking for bigger problems. When I placed Arne in a facility, which was his choice, at a point where I could no longer care for him, particularly around hygiene issues, I didn't want to do it. I needed a lot of support to get over that big gulf. I listened to the doctors, and I'm thankful I did, and I've apologized for being rude. I could do it better in the sense that I read him better, but I can give that to the facility. I can help the facility understand my husband. Alzheimer's is not generic, as many think. It's very individual. That's the best it can be. Be an advocate for whomever is in your life. Every dementia patient needs an advocate. Actually, anyone who has an illness needs an advocate. And you don't have to be a family member to be an advocate. It's very difficult to advocate for yourself when you're ill, but it's impossible to advocate for yourself if you have a dementia. I really do encourage all caregivers to walk this path with great dignity. Your family member or your great loved one would want you to be okay in the end. I remember Arne saying to me, even when he didn't have much there, are you all right? It was very strange. No, I wasn't all right, but of course I'm all right. I'll be all right because I have the supports. We would all do something for someone else. We're very reluctant to ask for help. But this is the time. Friends are wonderful. But if you think of your children, you hope your children aren't going to take all their advice from their peers. You hope they're going to reach further. Well, I encourage you to reach further to those who know more than you do, and those whom you can trust, and those who can keep it confidential. And share the things that bother you most. They'll keep them safe. And in the end, you will be okay, and hold your head up, and there will be light at the end of the tunnel.